Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live Wednesday edition. So happy to have you here with us. Thank you for joining us. Second hour, Trent Horn's going to be here and we're going to talk about practical advice, practical ideas for apologetics. So please join us for that hour. This hour, we continue our ongoing conversation about Humanae Vitae, the encyclical of Pope Paul VI that reaffirmed and explained the Church's traditional teaching on marriage and contraception. And I have to say, far from being a relic of a former time, the Catholic teaching on sex and marriage continues to act as a beacon of hope in a world of sexual excess, regret, broken hearts. If you have questions or comments about that teaching, if you would like to be clearer about what the Church in fact teaches about sex and marriage, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Dr. Janet Smith. She has a new book out. It's a collection of essays, some by herself, some by other important writers. The book is called Why Humanae Vitae is Still Right. Dr. Smith holds the Father Michael McGivney Chair of Life Ethics at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She is serving a third term as a consultant to the Pontifical Council on the Family. She's the author, editor, and contributor of various works on life issues, bioethics, Humanae Vitae, same-sex attraction, and Catholic moral theology. And you should know more than 2 million copies of her talk, Contraception, Why Not?, have been distributed. Professor Janet Smith, thanks so much for being with us on Catholic Answers Live.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you.
So I'm going to guess from the title that you are of the opinion that Humanae Vitae is still right. And we hear we hear so many people saying, I think the common way to say it is, when is the Church going to get with the times? Why doesn't the Church get with the times on contraception?
Yeah, I think a better question is, when is the culture going to get with the Church?
Fair enough.
That's really what has to happen. Well, because the Church's teaching is based upon human nature, and human nature doesn't change. It's not based upon cultural conditions. Many of the Church's teaching on economic issues and justice issues, the current political situation or the what form a government takes would greatly influence what its teachings are. But the teachings that are based, and those also are based ultimately on human nature, but there's all sorts of intermediary institutions that make a difference. But for sexuality, it's very directly directed towards the human nature and the nature of the human body, which is a part of the human person. And so it's not going to change. And thank God it won't, because we've seen what's happened in the last 50 years. We've had a 50-year experiment of what a contraceptive culture would look like, and it doesn't look good. It certainly is not getting human beings any closer to happiness. By virtually every measure, except for economic well-being, human beings are less happy than they've been in the past.
And I think we can stipulate to the fact that if you have very few children or no children at all, you have more money probably, because children, it's not the case that children cost nothing in the modern world. So, but are we? Have we maybe valued our money and our free time and all those things over children? Or go ahead, I'll let you just address that first.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a cliche, but there's no one on their deathbed that says, "I wish I would have had fewer children," or "I wish I would have had a smaller family."
Yeah,
it's really where meaning comes from in people's lives is from their families. If you ask most people who've had children, you ask them, what's the most important thing you've ever done in your life? And they'll say being a father or a mother. And so I do think it's probably true that most people have more money, especially if they're of a certain educational class. But there was a book written in the 1960s, edited by Michael Novak, who eventually came around to support the Church's teaching on contraception. But it was a book written of about, I think, 15 different couples who had not, they'd had their families before contraception was available and before the pill was available. And they were all saying they wish they had had the pill. They thought they would have had more control over their fertility and they wouldn't have had so much stress. But when they got at the end of the day, all of them said that they were doing financially better than they ever dreamed they would do, and their marriages were still intact. I want to say, well, I don't think they can. They're seeing the fullness of their situation. You know, it's very possible that having so many children actually, you know, drove them to make better financial choices, saved more, planned more, and it may have been something that actually kept their marriages together. And intact marriages are one of the most certain sources of happiness in this world.
Yeah.
But to have someone that you've lived your whole life with, worked out a relationship, gotten along with, worked out the wrinkles, and now you grow old with is unbelievable. And for your children to enjoy the fact that their parents have stayed together their whole life long, it's one of the best gifts you can possibly give your children. There's more and more studies that show how miserable children are who grow up in households that are affected by divorce.
Do you what do you make of the statistics that suggest that those who are couples who use natural family planning have extremely low, vanishing low incidence of divorce? What do you make of that?
Well, of course, it's not just the fact that they're abstaining, you know, about 7 to 10 days a month. It's a whole cluster of things that fortify a marriage when a couple is using natural family planning. One thing is a woman's healthier. She's not taking all of these hormones into her body that make her depressed, make her more prone to depression, actually reduce her sex drive. It's an amazing thing. Those are common side effects of a hormonal contraceptive: more irritability, more depression, weight gain, and a lower sex drive, and other things like migraines, and even more horrible things like increase of some forms of breast cancer, or breast cancer from some forms of hormonal contraception. It's considered a class one carcinogen, just like asbestos and smoking.
Oh my Lord.
It's amazing.
I didn't know that.
So yeah, most people don't know that. They can look it up. World Health Organization. Just type in World Health Organization, contraception, carcinogen. People will be astonished. There's all the time there's contraceptives coming on the market and going off the market. One recently is Assure, which is a kind of IUD that's caused so many infections and you know, really bad, miserable side effects for women. It's now being taken off the market. So a woman is healthier. She feels better. Men produce more testosterone when they're around women who are having fertile cycles. Having more testosterone actually makes men feel more manly, more aggressive, more in control. It's a good thing. So physically, both parties to the marriage are healthier and not suffering from the bad side effects of contraception. Couples will tell you that when they're using natural family planning, the fact that they have to abstain. The fact is, they talk about why it would be a good idea or not a good idea to have another child. Whereas couples who contracept often just will sort of contracept for a year on end without ever reopening the question, and without really asking when are we going to have another child. The woman gets on the pill, and that's just considered now routine until something happens that makes them think they might want a child. Whereas the fact that a couple who is using NFP has to abstain every month, that people don't like to abstain. And so it forces them to reexamine the question with some frequency. Why did we decide not to have another child? And that's a great question for sort of assessing the nature of the relationship. Is one or the other of the spouses carrying greater weight? Is the wife so tired that she just couldn't handle another child and that's because he doesn't help? Or is he so totally stressed he can't imagine supporting more children? And is that because the way she irresponsibly spends money? I'm not saying either, but
no,
couples assess these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes an enormous difference to a marriage when you're doing a regular checkup, or how are we supporting each other in this task that we've taken on of raising a family? So the communication is much, much better. They get used to talking about difficult things, you know, and with respect then to their sex life, they want to have sex, which is a great thing. So, and they become more religious. They tend to trust God more. They tend to understand that the sexual act is a great value. Their sexuality is a beautiful thing. And actually, it's meant to be put in service of helping God populate heaven, if you will. And so when they have children, they're just not saying, oh, we've got another source of entertainment or meaning in our lives. They're saying, God wants, the first line of Humanae Vitae talks about the extremely important mission of transmitting human life that God has entrusted to spouses, whereby they provide a great service to God the Father. Thinking, whoa,
right.
You know, this is a big deal. This is what spouses are meant to do.
888-318-7884 is our number if you'd like to talk with Dr. Janet Smith about Humanae Vitae and particularly about her book, Why Humanae Vitae is Right. I should let you know that we got a bunch of copies in our warehouse of Why Humanae Vitae is Still Right. It's a book from Ignatius Press by our guest, Dr. Janet Smith. And all weekend, if you go to Catholic.com and buy a copy of that book, we're going to ship it to you for free. Also, our book, Inseparable, which is five perspectives on sex, life, and love in defense of Humanae Vitae, that's ships for free. We've got a DVD, The Case Against Contraception, from Trent Horn. That's going to ship for free as well. We just wanted to make sure that while we're having this conversation, that we make those things available to you as easily as we can. So head on over to shop.catholic.com if you'd like more on this topic, including our guest book, Why Humanae Vitae is Still Right. Shop.catholic.com.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
It's the start of a new day for Morning Catholic Radio.
Isn't it the case that when you're stirring food in a pot, it burns less, like, because it's not just sitting there?
What about your forearms? You get some nice buff forearms when you're doing that stirring.
But let me say,
totally get this for you, Gloria. You don't need any help stirring the pot.
You know, you all make it so easy for me.
Morning Glory, Catholic from the start. Weekday mornings, 7 Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour is Dr. Janet Smith. She's the Father Michael McGivney Chair of Life Ethics at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. And I'm always so impressed, Dr. Smith, with Sacred Heart Major Seminary. It seems like every time I turn around, there's another great scholar doing something wonderful there. This must be an impressive place.
It is an impressive place. It's amazing that so many great faculty have clustered in the same spot.
Yes.
So I find it incredibly enriching. You can have have experts at your fingertips at lunchtime. You know, you just drift down the hall to someone's office and get a really difficult question answered in 2 seconds.
Isn't that great? That's cool. That is really cool. It's something special is happening there. I guess maybe the Holy Spirit has something to do with that. But
I think it might.
Yeah, that's good. Men being prepared. And do you have students other than men in preparation for ordination, or is it?
We have a very large program. We have an undergraduate program that in which lay people can also enroll, and some of the faculty children have gotten a BA through the seminary, and then we have an MDiv program, which is all priests, but we have an MA program and a MAPS program, pastoral studies, which is almost all lay people.
Wow.
We have a program for deacons, and we have an STL program, a license in sacred theology, that is for priests. And priests from all over the world come. It's the most fantastic thing to teach in because of the students that we draw. Most of them are priests, have been out for about more than 6 years, and some have been out 20 years. But they bring just a mountain of pastoral experience with them, great intellectual curiosity, fantastic work ethic. It's so much fun to teach them.
And now when you hear from these folks from all around the world who come there or have this pastoral experience, Do they experience the church's teaching on sex in marriage and contraception as something that is helpful to express to people, or is this like, does it still feel like, it felt so polarizing, I suppose, back in the 70s and 80s. Or are people more open to it now, I guess is what I'm asking. Is there...
I actually think across the board people are more open to it. It's mostly people, theologians over 65 or 70, who are most resistant to it as far as the... And those trained by them, those who have been trained by them. But there's a groundswell of support for Humani Vitae. Certainly in almost every seminary in the United States, young men are being taught the wisdom of the church's teaching, and they're prepared to go out and defend it.
Yeah.
A lot is being done to try to help them understand NFP, to know how to talk to couples about it, to know how to give homilies on these issues. It's quite remarkable, and they're very receptive. They know, and we don't have to convince them. We don't have to convince them of the wisdom of the church's teaching. They've seen the culture and what contraception has done to the culture.
Right. How about we head to calls then, if you feel ready for that?
Okay, all for it.
Let's start with Tom in Lancaster, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Tom, you're on with Dr. Janet Smith. Your question, please.
Hey, good day to everyone. Thanks for taking my call. The situation where two Catholic young Catholic couple, cradle Catholics, reared Catholic all their lives. What happens when they did natural family planning, had a daughter, the husband wanted to have more children. However, the wife is seeking to enter into a surgery, medical school to become a surgeon. So she's not at all happy with the idea of
more children.
Well, not as many as he wants to have.
I would say, Dr. Smith, probably a not uncommon question that within a marriage, even among Catholics who intend to follow the church's teaching, a difficulty as far as the number of children or the ways to space the births of children.
Yes, well, it is a difficult question, and the first thing is that I would recommend that the two of them write a prayer, and that they write a prayer together that they can both say, and something like, we are at odds about how many children we should have. God, please shape our hearts and help us to know what is your will in our situation. And it could be very simple, and say it every day at breakfast or when they're reliably together, to just say that prayer. And, possibly, if they're at all open to it, is to go to Eucharistic adoration every week for half an hour or an hour. And again, at the beginning of that hour, just say to God, please open our hearts to whatever your will is. And then if whoever is the member of the marriage that is wanting children and the other one doesn't, is to make certain that they are helping in every way with however many children they already have. And whatever way it is a burden for the spouse to have children, that they make certain that they're doing what they can to make it not be an undue burden on the other spouse. And to just keep praying for that spouse, praying and sacrificing, fasting for that spouse. And whatever it is, if you drink your coffee with a lot of milk in it or whatever, get no milk in your coffee. Just have something daily that is not in your pleasure zone, something that you like things a certain way. It's simple things for some of us, not to use your favorite coffee mug. I mean, it's kind of an annoyance. You got this coffee mug, or wear a shirt that you don't like. Something that would be a sacrifice for your spouse. And don't make it a point of contention between the two of you. Every once in a while, gently say, observing a large family, just look at your spouse and say, I really hope we could have that someday. And just, let them know, but not harassing and not nagging. I think that's the best you can do. And just pray that God will bring that person around to having more children. Otherwise, that's part of what marriage is, for better or worse. And if your spot, and try to figure out, that woman wants a certain profession, needs something, to point out, see if there's other people who've had larger families whose wife has gotten that degree, how have they done it? Take a look at that and see if it's something that the two of you could do. But if it's something else, if there's a fear of more children, if there's a fear of financial difficulties, if there's a fear of, find out what is the reason? What is the real reason for not wanting another children? What is her reason for wanting to be a surgeon so badly that she wouldn't have more children? What is that reason? And try to figure out what that is and see if when she brings it really to the light, that's more important than having children, if she could really bring that to the light. But again, not to harass, not try to argue, just try to offer insights and offer all kinds of support for whatever their goals are and say, are there other, whatever your goals are, if you want to be of great service to people through medicine, can that be done in some other way besides a full throttle degree in surgery that could accommodate a child, all sorts of things. So I think you want to look in, especially to see what families might have done what she wants to do and have done it with more children and how they did it.
Tom, thank you very, very much for that question. I hope that was indeed helpful. We got a lot of lines lit up for this topic, so we'll keep moving. Jenny in Kansas City listening on Ave Maria Radio. You are up next with Dr. Janet Smith. Your question, Jenny.
Hi, I'm calling because we have three beautiful children, and my husband is thinking pretty seriously about getting permanent contraception, getting fixed. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to think through how, and it sort of relates to your last caller, but how to intellectually sort of talk him into not doing that. And you were asking, you were commenting about sort of finding out his reason. I think his reason is not financial. It's that he wants control of his time, really. He doesn't want to spend his time and energy on more babies.
Right. How old are your children?
4, 2, and 10 months.
All right. No decisions about future family size should be made in that situation. That's one of the hardest that you're ever going to get. All right. So you're sort of at the peak of child raising challenges. You've got three little kids who need observation all the time. The 4-year-old might be able to run and get you a diaper and do a few things, but for the most part, it's two adults with three very, very needy kids. As they grow and become more independent, he might see that they're not nearly as much work as they are now. So one thing is just to ask him to wait. Just wait. Can we just try to see? We're tired now. We're very tired. We're being pushed to the max of our energy, etc. So, but let's see. People say it gets easier. Can we postpone this? And I hope we never do it because it's something. It's against the church and it's against God's plan for the body. It's basically saying there's something bad with the body. It'd be better for me to be entirely controlling my fertility, and to which point I actually, in a certain sense, destroy my fertility. I say, God didn't mean for us to do that. And you say, I'll be willing to practice natural family planning. Have you done any of that in your marriage? Have you used NFP at all?
We did it before we got pregnant. We didn't want to get pregnant as soon as we got married, so we did natural family planning. And then since then, we haven't really cared when we got pregnant, so we haven't for quite some time, but we did it very early on.
Was it difficult for the two of you to abstain and to use it?
Difficult only in that it's sort of another thing to keep track of.
Okay. To some extent, maybe you could make that your job. I know it should be shared, but if it's, take that burden on yourself and offer it up for him and say that, you'll put a chart on the back of the closet door and, let him know when you're fertile. And, you keep track of that and just say, not tonight. We've decided no more children for a while. Always say for a while. And shower him with kindness, too. I mean, try to do what you can to make his life more pleasant for him. If that's that he needs more time watching sports and I mean, I know your life is hard, and I know you need a lot of help. But it, something as important as this, that sort of you're trying to get the other person to sort of come around and not go down a path they want to go on. So right now, a lot of the sacrifices have to be yours. Again, as you pray for him and work with him, the chances are, again, especially if you, again, it's a matter of kind of killing with kindness. And, you know, make him little desserts that he likes. Watch sporting events with him that he likes. You know, if he likes to go off to something with his friends once a week, you know, make sure that he can do that. And just do little kind things for him. And so that he feels important, that he hasn't been totally eclipsed by these three kids. And he's still your number one love in his life. That a man very much needs that, to know he's still number one. And then if there's ways in which his life is out of control, try to get him some control. But postpone, right? Postpone the whole decision. That's like push for postponement. I hope that helps. And pray for him. As I said last time, write a prayer together. And just write a prayer together and go to Eucharistic adoration.
Jenny, thank you so much for that call. You are right in the midst of it. We could hear that you're right in the midst of it. So I'm sure there are many praying for you and for your husband right now. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Janet Smith, our guest, we're talking marriage and contraception.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine. Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why do human persons have a right to life? What does the Church teach about the morality of in vitro fertilization? How can technologies like cloning, embryonic stem cells, fetal tissue vaccines, and designer genetic screening be wrong if they help people? 20 Answers Bioethics tackles the topics where life, science, and morality meet, offering solid guidance that combines the wisdom of authentic Catholic anthropology with shrewd understanding of the medical and political realities. 20 Answers Bioethics is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting series from Catholic Answers Press.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. There are a lot of misconceptions about the Catholic faith. We clear them up on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Our guest this hour, Dr. Janet Smith, has a brand new book, Why Humani Vitae is Still Right. She edited that book for Ignatius Press. She's in there with a bunch of essays, other people, George Weigel, for example, and quite a few others in there with pieces on why what Pope Paul VI did in July of 1968 continues to bear fruit for the Church and is still right. Despite the fact that the most common question probably about Humani Vitae from those outside the Church is, when is the Church going to get over it? The answer is never, and it's because it the following God's plan for our lives, for our marriage, for children, all of that, is a path of a tremendous joy that families who do it testify to over and over and over again, although it's not the easiest thing in the world. And as you were saying, Dr. Smith, I think it was Jenny who called before the break, there is a time when there you have a group of very small people who are extremely needy, where it can feel like, oh, this is the most overwhelming thing in the world. It kind of is the most overwhelming thing in the world, but that time does pass. It doesn't. They do get to where they're buckling their own seatbelts.
Right, brushing their own teeth.
Yes. Well, I wish mine. Yeah, mine are adults. I'm hoping that they're. Yeah. 888-318-7884. The number 888-318-7884. Andrew in no, I guess not. Unless I have the wrong line here. Philip in Missouri, listening on the Covenant Network. There, Philip, you are up with Dr. Janet Smith. Your question, please.
Yes. So thank you both. So my wife and I have 7 kiddos under 11. We love our big family, and we are absolutely, you know, advocates of Pimana Vitae, and this is really important. Contraception is off the table. My question is around that really important word, right, grave reasons, right? Mm-hmm. So almost, you know, how do we make sure that we're not being we don't have a contraceptive mentality in our use of NFP. Does that make sense?
Well, very good question. Many people struggle with that. And the church is more generous than a lot of people think. The word grave is only one of 5 words that are used to explain what kind of reasons are needed. And I even think grave is not a good translation of the Latin word, and the Latin is official language for church teaching. Grave in English, if you say someone's gravely ill, we tend to think he's near death. And so we think you need to have reasons that mean either your wife is near death or you are near financial ruin. That's not the church's position at all. Grave means weighty, and that means basically not trivial reasons. It also uses that you have to have worthy reasons, justifiable reasons, serious reasons. I think the most important word that actually shows up both in Humanae Vitae, then again in the Catechism, is just reasons, just reasons. And I think by that, and the church says that your reasons could be of a physical nature, an economic nature, a psychological nature, and a sort of a cultural nature. The culture may need more children or may need fewer children at different times. And so I think that there's all sorts of reasons that the church would say are morally permissible. I think just says you're meant to balance your obligations. And it says pretty much this exactly in Gaudium et Spes, that you have to look at what are your duties to the children you already have, to the children you might have, to your family life, to your job, to your culture, to your church. What are the obligations? And how can you balance everything? So if you have a number of or have a handicapped child that needs special help, or you have an extremely talented child that you're trying to help them, you know, achieve the heights of what they're capable of doing, if you're taking care of elderly parents, if your job is especially demanding in certain ways, you might say, well, it would be good to push what I call push the pause button. I think couples should rarely be thinking we're not going to have ever going to have any more children unless they sort of reached an age where it doesn't seem wise. But for the most part, you want to say, well, it's not a good idea to have children now. And we might say we can't even see in the foreseeable future when it would be possible. But we're going to keep revisiting this question, and we're going to keep asking God that if we're wrong, to show us that we're wrong. So I think if couples believe they've got a good reason, if they think that they might be being selfish, then they should talk to some generous person who knows their life, and a godly, generous person who knows their life, but not someone who sort of thinks you should take on all the burdens you possibly can. Someone who's sane, and ask them. Other than that, just keep praying. Write a little prayer and say to God, we love the children we have, but right now this is the situation in which we're in. We believe it's in accord with your will that we not have any more children right now. If it's not in accord with your will, please let us know. And I think you can get wrong with that. God will tell you. Somehow he'll tell you.
What do you think, Philip?
That's good. That's good stuff. Recommendations
Thank you for having resources? 7 children.
Wait, I'm sorry, Philip. Any recommendations for what?
For resources to keep digging into this?
Oh,
well, in the first volume of there's a volume, Why Humanae Vitae is Right, a Reader, which I published 25 years ago. there's an essay in there that I wrote, and there's essays by several people on the internet about why mine is called The Moral Use of NFP. And the chances are it might be on the internet. So just type in Janet E. Smith, quote, The Moral Use of NFP, and you might find my essay. It is in that the first volume, which is Why Humani Vitae is Right, a Reader.
Philip, I'm going to ask Marie to send you a book as well. We've got several books that might meet your needs. So chat with Marie, and she'll get your address and send you out a book. Thanks, Philip, very, very much. Appreciate that call. I wonder, Dr. Smith, I often feel cautious about the words contraceptive mentality. But I don't know, is there anyone besides a Catholic family that would have seven kids and say we're concerned that we have a contraceptive mentality?
That's a very generous family that could possibly use that term.
Yeah.
Who has 7, 11, and under. I mean, the word means that you're using NFP more or less in a contraceptive way, and that would, you can't be contracepting because you are not attempting to make an act that could be fertile infertile. That's what contraception does.
Right.
It tries to thwart the baby-making power of a sexual act, whereas a couple using NFP really respect that power and don't choose not to have sexual intercourse when that power is present. But you could use it with a contraceptive mentality, meaning we are not consulting with God about
yes.
when it's a good idea for us to have children or not. We're doing this totally on our own agenda, and they're not asking God, do you think we should have more children? Let us know. So that's a contraceptive mentality. But honestly, it usually is the use of NFP that sort of jogs people out of that mentality, because again, it does require abstinence, and people naturally want to have sex when they want to have sex. So it makes them ask a question, why did we decide it wasn't a good idea to have another child?
Yeah,
and often that question will spark them to say, oh, we could have another child. Let's just enjoy this weekend together. And if a baby comes, a baby comes.
Yeah, I forget one of the Catholic apologists here said that's, you know, God wants a lot of babies. He made that clear by the fact that the drive towards making babies is so strong in us. He really likes babies.
Yes, it's both for men and it's stronger for both men and women when a woman is during her fertile cycle.
Right, indeed, right. Jennifer in Cleveland, you are up next. Jennifer is listening on 1260 AM. Your question for Dr. Janet Smith.
Hi. I am a nurse. Thank you for taking my call. I am a nurse. My husband and I have 5 sons. We did natural family planning. All of what you've said, Janet, physiologically, psychologically, spiritually, is all applicable, which you know. Regarding birth control, it is awful. And women, young women, do not realize, because of our culture, how awful it is and the price that they're going to pay in all 3 areas. I know it. I see it every day. You are 100% correct. Thank God that you're talking about this. Now, my husband and I never use birth control. We do have 5 sons. I had a very traumatic birth for my last one, so he and I were like, you know, let's talk about this. The baby's fine. I was fine. But we decided to try and avoid it because I would have had to have a C-section. I had all my other children naturally. So we use natural family planning from the age I was 36 until I'm 53 now, so probably 48 when I couldn't have children anymore. And it worked beautifully, and it did bring our marriage closer. Even though we didn't think we had problems, it's amazing how close you become. So my question is, as a nurse, I would love to know how to be able to get involved in a movement or get some information or join people who are promoting the dangers of birth control on all of those levels. And I honestly feel, despite the fact that I'm a devout Catholic, because I'm a nurse, I could be even more influential.
It sounds like you could be extremely with your scientific knowledge and then your own personal experience and, you know, testimony to how strong and people, as you say, they don't know. Our culture has now become what I call just sex. They're attached. The only thing they know is just sex. And just sex means you have a physical attraction with this person, you have sex, whether you know them, don't know them, anything, have no commitment, anything. The church has an idea that sex is a commitment-expressing action that says to this person, I love you like I love no one else. I want to do something with you that I do with no one else. And with this act, if a baby came, that would be great, because that's another reason we need to stay together for the rest of our lives. And I want to stay together with you for the rest of our lives. So it's such a different act. And NFP helps people retain that meaning of the sexual act. But most people don't even know it should have that meaning, because they've never experienced the only sex they've ever had is just sex. So there's a website called Natural Womanhood that has tremendous resources. And, you know, if I were you, I'd just have a little bag I'd carry around with me all the time with brochures that you get from Natural Womanhood, Couple to Couple League, Family of the Americas. There's all sorts of organizations that have great brochures that answer all the questions about contraception, natural family planning. You carry around my CD, Contraception, Why Not? And just give them to people. When you strike up a conversation, just say, you know, yeah, I'm not making no judgments. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to do anything, impose anything on you. I'm just trying to offer you options that my husband and I took, and we benefited so greatly from this. And I'm trying to help other women have the great marriage that I had.
We had a little, it wasn't me for once. We had a little phone problem, so we don't have Jennifer with us. So, Jennifer, I hope you heard the fullness of that. I'm very grateful for your call, Jennifer, because it's the testimony of people who have lived what the church is teaching that is most powerful, I think, more powerful than what anyone else can say. Jennifer, we wanted to send you a book to say thanks for your call, and so call back if you like. We'd like to send that to you. It is extraordinary testimony, isn't it, that from a woman who works in the medical field but also has chosen not to use these contraceptive chemicals herself. And it strikes me that this is all presented to us just in a way that abortion is as well. It's also pro-woman and all that. And yet what it is our society. We don't let baseball players take these hormones, you know.
That's right.
But we've got millions and millions of women who we've told, don't worry about it. Go ahead. This is good.
Yeah, those are called steroids. The hormones that women take are steroids. And as you say, I've always said, if a young man comes into his doctor and says, I want steroids so I get big muscles for whatever reason, the doctor says, no, join a gym. And if a woman comes in and says, I want to hit a contraceptive pill to have sex, he says, sure. And it's just as bad for the women as the steroids are for men. Every bit as bad. It is a threat to a woman's fertility. It atrophies her system if she takes it for a long time. There's just I could go on and on. But any woman who's using a hormonal contraceptive really has to do some research into what it really does to her, how it really works. Most women don't have a clue about how it really works in their bodies.
Right.
And then what are the health side effects?
And I've noticed that in some European countries, there's an interest among secular women in natural family planning because, you know, they're eating natural foods, they're doing all these natural things, and it's occurring to them, if my body has this cycle that works, I want to cooperate with that natural way.
Yeah, I give a version of my talk that I entitled "Why Green Sex is Best."
Green. I see what you mean.
Why green sex is best.
Right, right.
And it really is true. I mean, that's one of the things that people – it is true. Sex without hormones is better sex than sex with hormones. There's many reasons why that's – with artificial hormones, that's why that's true.
Yeah. Well, they don't – right, that's right. These are European women. They don't want hormones in their beef. But so now they've decided maybe not in me either. We're going to return, take more calls for Dr. Smith. I want to let you know that I'm giving a talk, Whatever Happened to the Modern World, this Sunday, August 5th, at St. Elizabeth Seton Parish in Carlsbad, California. It's going to be lots and lots of men there. The men's group is sponsoring it. We have a lot of fun with this talk. I think you'll enjoy coming. You can call the parish at 760-438-3393 for more information. But you don't really need more information. It starts at 6. There's free cookies, and we're going to have a good time. Hope to see you there.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Why Humani Vitae is Still Right is the latest book from our guest, Dr. Janet Smith. You can find out more about her at janetesmith.org, janetesmith.org. And she also has another group of essays you might be interested in, more maybe more of a scholarly nature. At self, the book is called Self-Gift, and that is essays on Humani Vitae, and the thought of Pope John Paul II, Self-Gift by Dr. Janet E. Smith. We go now to Joe in Boston, listening on the Station of the Cross. Joe, your question for Dr. Smith.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question kind of is specifically oriented towards the economic justifications for, you know, what constitutes a grave reason not to have children using NFP. You know, I think I just think that, you know, the basic assumptions of our society are that we are supposed to maintain a middle class lifestyle. And, you know, there's a lot of societal pressure on us, often subconscious pressure, that, you know, we want to fit in. We want to be accepted by the surrounding society. And so I could see how that could really impact that kind of decision about whether to have additional children, you know, whether we can still maintain the mortgage on the big house in the suburbs and that sort of thing. And I think two of some of the great saints of the church who were born in abject poverty, like St. Bernadette Soubirous and others, you know, who, you know, if their families had had access to the symptothermal method, they might very well have said, look, we already have so many children, we can't afford to have another one. So I'm just wondering what your take would be on the extent to which financial reasons from the perspective of maintaining a middle-class lifestyle are justifications for not having children using NFP?
Oh, I think that's just a terrific question. And it's one that goes way beyond the question of NFP, honestly. It goes on the question of lifestyle choices in general for Christians. How important is the big house? How important is these Ivy League educations? I mean, we're beginning to find that kids get badly educated at these places. And more of my friends are sending their kids to community colleges for the first 2 years and then to a sort of a higher grade institution after that, and finding out they're doing extremely well, keeping home for two more years and a fraction of the cost of universities. There's many reasons to think about downsizing. I remember one of my sisters was moving from a house where each child had their own bedroom. She had four, and to moving where the kids were going to have to share rooms. Their kids were pretty little, and you know, she was all worried about it. And I said, "What do you?" You present it as a positive. I said, "You don't talk about, you know, you're not going to be able to have your own room. You say you get to share with your brother." They were so excited about it, and they were having over fights over who could share with whom. And so I had friends who had nine kids and three bedrooms. The boys were all in one room and the girls were all in the other. And the girls were like two bunk beds and a trundle. And they actually, you know, a lot of their clothes were just piled on the bottom of their bed. And the older girl was offered to go, one of her high school friends, the family only had two daughters and one daughter was going off to college. And they asked her if she wanted to come live with them, and just a mile away. And she couldn't stand it more than a couple nights. She said, for one thing, she says, I can't sleep. There's not enough breathing in the room.
I remember that. I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, she missed everybody.
Right.
Now,
right.
That's not going to be for everybody. But again, it's really astonishing how much kids can adapt to crowded conditions.
Of course. Yeah.
I know another family who had eight, and the oldest son was, you know, wasn't proud to be a part of embarrassed to be a part of a large family, and he wanted to be really groovy, and he had all this expensive equipment for doing filming and cutting films and editing films. And he had all his groovy friends that would come over with the other seven younger kids in the household. They never wanted to go back and see his expensive equipment. They wanted to play with the other kids. They loved having kids that sat in their laps and read books with them and would play outside with them. And my mother was home with cookies. So I think people really have to reassess, how are we spending our money as Christians, and how much of our money really should go towards helping the less advantaged? And we can live on way less. So it's not just the question of NFP. It's the question of how are we as Catholics living our lives. I had an occasion a couple of years ago to take care of my mother who had dementia, and I had to go. I went to live with her, and I sold my house, which was a good 2,000 square feet, lovely, 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 charming little house, and another 1,000 square feet of various kinds of storage, basement and garage and everything. I moved into a 700 square foot space. I love it. I totally love it. And, you know, I'm thinking, why did I need 2,000 square feet? And so it's the sort of thing, you know, I'm of an age where I'm not entertaining as much and all that sort of thing. So I definitely can do it. And there were times in my life which a bigger house made a lot of sense. Yeah. But you know, people have to reassess sometimes.
Yeah, and
it's important.
It's much easier to accept the church's teaching on sex and marriage if one accepts Christ's teaching on money and things. That makes
That's great.
Right, you're not as stuck. Joe, I'm going to say thanks for the call because I want to try to get another call in before we have to let Dr. Smith go. We go now to Walt in Pennsylvania. Walt, you are on with Dr. Janet Smith. Your question, please.
Hey, Dr. Smith, thanks a lot for taking my call. My wife's a big Facebook fan of yours. I'm not into the Facebook too much, but she's always talking about you, so thank you for all you do. I have a question regarding, I read somewhere, and I think it was in the National Catholic Register, but I can't remember, that there is a commission going on kind of behind the scenes at the Vatican reexamining the amount of vitae. Do you know anything about it? And if so, what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, well, we shouldn't feel at all threatened by it, honestly. I just, in fact, purchased a book that was came out of that commission. It's in Italian. My Italian's a little bit primitive, so it's going to be a challenge for me to read it. But it's coming out with a lot of good stuff. I think the motivation of some of the people who are in support of the commission was that somehow we would find something that would suggest that the church is not as confident of its teaching as it's pretending to be, or that Pope Paul VI made a mistake in not following certain advisors. I don't think any of that's going to come out. One of the things they found already is some very strong communications from Karol Wojtyła, John Paul II, before he was Holy Father, at the time of Humani Vitae, that he sent to Pope Paul VI, where he was very strong in this being an infallible teaching. And really wanted Pope Paul VI to stress that in the encyclical. Well, he did not. He sort of soft-pedaled that one. He did say it was God's law and not man's law, which seems to me a little bit of a signal that this is an unchangeable teaching. But anyway, I'm not threatened by it. I think some interesting things have already come out, and those things, I mean, some people are saying, well, there were several drafts of the document. Well, both drafts said the church's teaching on contraception is true, but one was sort of much more rigorous and sort of a pre-Vatican II tone, and the other one was a very sort of loosey-goosey tone. But most encyclicals go through many drafts, so that it did signals nothing about the status of the church's teaching.
Walt, does that satisfy
good
you?
Good question.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
The striking thing about Humani Vitae is it came in 1968, right at the very peak of the agitation for the sexual revolution, where we were all supposed to believe that we were all being liberated from thousands of years of sexual oppression and repression. And the church spoke clearly. I don't think we're as things have are less. I suppose excited in that direction now. The church has more experience with having confronted the sexual revolution. I think we're in better shape.
Yes, yes. Well, I think I've got a talk that I think it's on the website Formed, and it's it's on the Humani Vitae 50th year anniversary of Humani Vitae, and I go through how 1968 and really 2018 are very similar in so many ways.
Oh.
And much of what is frightening young people now, I want to say it's deja vu all over again for me.
Before we go, I want to just let people know about the book again. Why Humani Vitae is Still Right, edited by Dr. Janet Smith. You can get that from Ignatius Press. You can get it with no shipping charge if you order it this weekend or by this weekend at shop.catholic.com. Dr. Janet Smith, thank you so much for a very helpful hour.
It's been a lot of fun. Those were great questions. We couldn't have planned them better.
We got great listeners. I'm happy to brag about them. We'll be right back with more after this, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.